Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Longtime listeners might know you from the old Free Talk Live hangout area in Second Life, as I understand it.
Actually, yeah, it was the show that actually got me to join Second Life because you guys weren't syndicated here in New Hampshire yet.
Yeah.
And I went there to listen to you guys, and that got me interested in the whole Second Life economy, and I was writing a blog in the International Libertarian at the time, and so I started looking for stories and learning about the economy, and I just got into business in there and became pretty successful there.
You made money in a video game.
I made a lot of money for a while.
That's awesome. You know, we'd always heard stories about that, right? People who, for those that don't know, Second Life is like a virtual chat room, basically, where you can build things and you know, pre-Minecraft, right? Was it before Minecraft?
Before Minecraft, it's, you know, it's like a virtual reality you can view on your computer screen rather than needing a headset.
It's 3D, three-dimensional.
It's three-dimensional. Yeah. So you've got your avatar. You can move around the simulator regions. Mm-hmm. There's terrain, there's water.
It's old, though. I mean, this harkens back to, we were still in Florida at the time this was happening, weren't we?
Yeah. It's old technology, but it's still a very strong economy.
I was an Alaska guy for the Free State Project. Alaska was one of the 10 options for the Free State Project, and I just liked the notion of Alaska because it was unattached. It could very well be its own country, very simply.
There's a secession movement there, from what I understand.
It also has better weather than New Hampshire in some places. Like, so, you know, there's that little jag that hangs down to the south.
Yeah, the panhandle's like Seattle.
Yeah, it is.
Without all the communists.
So that means you, so when the Free State Project, which for those that are new to the show, is a migration project, it's part of the larger New Hampshire freedom migration that's been going on here for a long time. When they had 10 candidate states from which to choose, does that mean you voted Alaska as number one?
No, actually, when Jason told me about what he was proposing, I said, you know,
changed your mind?
Yeah, it changed my mind. I said, I'll give it one more try down here, and we'll see if this can happen. And lo and behold, New Hampshire got picked. I got elected to vice chair of the LPNH here, and helped with the campaign of the party to get the signers to pick New Hampshire.
You were just saying, Mike, that the Second Life company came after you because you were successful and kind of a rabble rouser.
Yeah, and they had tried to ban in-world advertisers, and I had a virtual stock exchange I created there, and so we capitalized a number of different businesses, including one of these ad farmers, and as well as I capitalized the first open simulator grid called Central Grid, which is an open source version of Second Life.
Yeah, you were telling me off the air about this. You said that the company that made Second Life had released their source code to the viewer application, which would have been the code that allowed players to see the world, right?
Right.
And then they somehow used that code to reverse engineer the original games and servers code.
Yeah.
Right?
Basically, you can look at the signal traffic between the viewer and the server in Second Life
and figure out what the other side is doing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So they literally reverse engineered Second Life and released it as an open source project.
Yeah. So there's hundreds.
Did they get sued or anything like that?
No, because they had open sourced their own viewer. So
I see.
You know, there's nothing they could do about it.
Wow. One of the things about Second Life that was noteworthy was, as you said, there was an economy within the game, and they had based their, was it called the Linden Bucks or Linden Dollars?
Linden Dollars, yeah.
Linden Dollars, and they based that on the dollar. So there was a certain amount of Linden Dollars per U.S. dollar.
Yeah, you could exchange, they had an exchange called the Lindex. You could trade Linden Dollars for U.S. dollars, and it usually traded for about 250 to 260 Linden Dollars to the U.S. dollar. So there are a lot of people that created content and could sell it on the marketplace there and earn a real-life living with creating content or, like I did, renting out a lot of virtual land to people.
And then that would cash out? You could cash it out somehow?
Yes. And
were there
right
services
on the Lindex
that would do that?
And so you trade it. Lindex was owned by Linden Lab.
Uh-huh.
And so you convert it to dollars and you could pay your server fees. They would send it to your PayPal account.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And then does the OpenSimulation use a currency as well?
There are actually a number of currencies in OpenSim. And so each grid owner can create their own currency for their grid.
I just wanted to mention how really weird it is that I was actually listening to that episode of Second Life in 2006 this morning. I just found it really strange that you guys were talking about that today.
So you were listening to the Free Talk Live episode from 2006 where we were talking about Second Life or one of those episodes?
Yeah, and that happened today, and I found it really, really strange.
You were listening to it today?
Yeah.
Yeah, today.
This morning, she said.
Wow, that's what she said. I just wanted to be clear.
Yeah. The universe is funny like that sometimes.
Yeah, so, you know, the fact is those archives are available right there. Go to archives.freetalklive.com, and we've got more than a decade. Yeah, more than a decade of free archives.
So Sylvia, I mean, what inspired you to go and listen to that episode all the way back? Were you listening to old episodes recently?
Yeah, I have a lot of time at work to listen to episodes, so I just... Wow. Catch up on my archives.
That's some catching up right there. You're going way back. Right on. Well, thanks for sharing. Are you also somebody who plays Second Life? Do you actually spend time in that game?
No, I actually wanted to call in today about Second Life before your guest came on, just to ask, like, how was... Because I haven't gotten as far in the episodes to know, like, what happened to that libertarian bar that you guys had going on? If it's still active?
Good question, Mike.
Like, should I join in?
That bar, it was Gimmy Castro was the guy who ran that bar originally.
Free Talk Live listener.
Yeah, and he left, and he turned it over to a friend of mine who has his own show called The Lulberts, Jim Jesus. And
Isn't he on the Freedom Fiends?
Yes, he's on the Freedom Fiends as well. And he was working for me at the time, so he took over the bar and moved it into one of my regions, and we ran it for a number of years. And then when the lab essentially took everything, that went away.
This open sim, is it like Second Life in that the graphical requirements, you know, even back in the day weren't real hefty? So like anybody with even a laptop can download this?
Yeah, yeah. You use the exact same viewer that you access Second Life. You can access open sim with.
You can use the official Linden Labs viewer?
Theirs, because they open source their viewer,
right.
There's all these third-party viewers that use the same code base.
I see.
And their code base enables you to access both Second Life and open sim.
Wow.
And so you can, if you have accounts in both, you can go back and forth between them with your separate accounts.
I find it interesting that Second Life started out pretty free and libertarian, and then moved to less
restrictions.
So. Yeah. And that is like the real world in many ways.
The open simulator now possibly going to be replaced by other things, like something you called high fidelity, supposed to be higher quality graphical abilities and compatibility with the new actual VR goggles.
Yeah, and there are a number of other platforms out there. There's Unity 3D, which is already being used in 40% of the world's mobile games. There's Unreal Engine, there's Cryengine, there's a number of different engines that can be used, but building those into an actual service, it takes quite a bit of investment.
Sure.
And so you've got to raise a lot of capital for that sort of thing. And one of the things is that each company winds up controlling your avatar and your content and your identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always bothered me that we don't have control over who we are online,
You only get as much as they allow you.
Yeah. And if they decide that you have, violated some secret rule or community standards, or you said the wrong word or something, your avatar is dead and no due process, no appeal. Because of the settlement with Linden Lab over what happened between me and them over Second Life, I can't go to Second Life,
mm-hmm.
but I'm in OpenSim, and I want to talk to friends in Second Life. So I developed this chat application that allows people in OpenSim to talk to people in Second Life. And then I said, there's some commercial applications for this.
Mm-hmm.
So we're developing this. I have a team of people now, and we're developing what we call the grid phone. And it's essentially a virtual smartphone your avatar.
In case you couldn't spend enough time on your phone, now you can spend time on your virtual phone in virtual reality.
Yes.
Great. Mike.
And on the media screen on your virtual smartphone, you can play games while you're in a game.
Wow.
But it allows you to talk with other avatars and other platforms, mm-hmm. no matter where they are. And, you know, today, if you're playing Call of Duty and someone's in World of Warcraft,
yeah.
for you to
don't get to talk.
You have to talk to them. You have to use a third-party app like
TeamSpeak or something.
TeamSpeak,
yeah.
you know, Ventrilo, whatever. And those put a heavy load on your processor and your memory.
Yeah.
So we've made the Grid Phone to be a very thin client.
Yeah.
So our servers handle all the processing. And so you're able to stay in the immersive environment. You don't get distracted from it. So you're not, you know, bang, bang, bang. Oh, someone called. Oh, you're dead.
Yeah.
You know? So you're able to stay
yeah.
there. And
one instant of distraction on some of those places, you know,
it's over.
Headshot.
Is there like a libertarian hangout in the open simulation?
Not really at this point. There's a number of different flavors of anarchists around, and as usual, they don't really get along that much.
Oh, yeah. Because that minutia upon which they disagree is really, really important.
Well, it just goes to show that that's just how people tend to be. They just don't tend to get along, which is why it's nice to have other places to go. If you don't like the rules in one sim, you can go to the other one.
I was at Consensus in New York when that agreement was
really?
Signed. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was working with a company called Stokens .vc, and the Stokens had been predicting that the SEC was going to rule that a lot of these ICOs that were providing equity in companies were securities, and they would wind up being regulated. And so we developed a white paper on that. We were at Consensus, and we were recruiting all the top blockchain companies into participating in creating a industry self-regulatory body to just like, you know, most people don't understand the SEC really isn't a government agency. It's a industry self-regulatory body that has a congressional monopoly granted to it.
Okay.
And so the idea was that the blockchain community shouldn't wait for the SEC to try to step in. It should create its own self-regulatory agency, its own body to self-regulate. And that way Congress can say, well, we don't need to draft regulations because they're already doing it
but
themselves.
But the SEC did step in.
They did step in a few cases where there was actual fraud going on. And
okay.
Because they have a law enforcement capacity that a currently merely private blockchain consortium doesn't have.
We're talking about the upcoming proposal SegWit2x, which is a proposal reached, consensus supposedly, that was reached in May by a few dozen organizations and a couple of individuals who signed this agreement to implement what's called SegWit or Segregated Witness. That was implemented back in August, and that's supposedly going to help with Bitcoin scaling in the future, although it hasn't seemed to do very much so far. They are saying that SegWit2x, you know, it's been rolled out at this point, or the SegWit part of it. So then comes the 2x, which is doubling the block size, which is another technical solution to increase the capacity of the network and supposedly reduce the fees and delays that were happening earlier this year. That, Mike, as you pointed out, those have mostly been eliminated anyway because some alleged spammers have stopped spamming the network.
Right.
But either way, this SegWit2x thing got signed, and people have been moving forward with implementing it over the last few months. And it's supposed to fork off of the original Bitcoin blockchain coming up in the next several weeks, which means that once again, we face a situation where there will be multiple Bitcoins in the market. We already have two now, thanks to the fork back in August. And now we may, coming up on October 25th, there's something called Bitcoin Gold that is planning on forking off of Bitcoin. This is a smaller...
And that's just days... Well,
couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks
from that. I just had dinner tonight with a guy who's visiting, who actually is operating a Bitcoin ATM company. He was in the area just kind of checking out New Hampshire and looking to place some Bitcoin ATMs in New Hampshire. And I paid for my meal with Bitcoin. But I don't know what is going to happen in this next couple of weeks. I'm not sure what I'm going to have to tell these merchants because I've helped many of them get on board with Bitcoin. So I'm kind of one of their points of contact for this. I don't know how I'm going to explain to these people, like, it was hard enough to explain Bitcoin Cash splitting off of Bitcoin. Now it's like, okay, well, there's now more Bitcoins and
we're not real sure which one's going to be the real Bitcoin, because these people over here, the Bitcoin Core people, say their Bitcoin's the real Bitcoin. The Bitcoin Cash people, which you haven't really figured out how to get yet from your wallet because half of them don't support it yet, they're saying their Bitcoin's the real Bitcoin. The SegWit2x people, they're saying theirs is the real Bitcoin. And to complicate matters, you've got companies like BitPay, which have signed on to the SegWit2x Accords. So BitPay is a company that helps merchants accept Bitcoin. Does that mean that BitPay is going to start calling the new SegWit2x coin Bitcoin instead of calling the original Bitcoin Bitcoin? And what does that mean?
What does even make an original Bitcoin original Bitcoin? Well, when it forks, it forks.
Yeah.
Which tine of a fork is the original tine?
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I wanted to talk about this character, Harvey Weinstein. Do you think that all this is just another distraction to add to the other distractions of the flat earth?
Wait, are you saying that Harvey Weinstein is trying to distract people, or that the controversy about him is trying to distract people from learning about the claim that the earth is flat?
Yeah, well, what I'm claiming is that I've seen an article that stated the Google Analytics, and they said flat earth was number one in all categories.
Yeah, right.
And when was that?
I'm calling fake news on that.
I'm waiting for Harvey to claim that chemtrails made him do what he did.
Well, and what's interesting about chemtrails is if you watch them,
no, there's
not
really
disturbing.
Nothing interesting about chemtrails. Just saying. Go ahead, though, with whatever you were going to say. Whatever.
Right,
kind of claptrap.
I'm feeling like there's... Because now Vegas is done. Nobody's conscious mind is really on Vegas as much. Now they bring Harvey out, and people are like celebrities. Okay, let's see if people may pay more attention to celebrities. They're more gods than Jesus is. So if you got something like this happening, everyone's going to get involved. And let's see what the Google Analytics say. I think Flat Earth will still win.
Yeah, I don't buy the claim that the flat earth is the number one Google Analytics search in the world. I would love to see the proof of that claim, and it would be very amusing if it were true, and sad if it were true.
But I'm personally a fan of the donut earth theory. He's known to have a temper and to, you know, really wield it. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a story out there from Nathan Lane. And
the comedian.
He's a Broadway actor.
Oh, right.
He's been in a few films.
He pass as a comedian.
He was funny in The Birdcage.
Yeah,
I remember that
one. Yeah, he was funny in The Birdcage. He was in The Producers. And he had emceed some event for Harvey and made some off-color remark that offended Harvey. And Harvey allegedly slammed him up against the wall and threatened him. And Nathan Lane's response was, "Harvey, you can't hurt me. I don't have a film career."
See, comedian Nathan Lane.
That is funny. So, but you know, it's definitely a serious issue for anybody that has found themselves under the whatever pressure this man put them under. And there was a long article that I saw just yesterday, which outlined several different—I mean, not just several, but many accusations against this guy. Now, obviously, anybody who wants to can accuse him of something. There's, you know, whatever evidence there is another question. But
the tape recording, I think, is the most dispositive with that.
What recording was this?
This Filipino Hispanic model complained that she had been harassed by him. And the New York Times convinced her to wear a wire and go back into a meeting with him.
I'd like to say that Harvey Weinstein is nothing new. In fact, the notorious Hollywood casting couch has been there for a century. Look at the history of Hollywood. Daryl Zanuck, who owned 20th Century Fox, used to have sex with his stars. So did Jack Warner, who owned Warner Brothers, and Samuel Goldwyn, who owned Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. You know, Hollywood has always been a cesspool, a sore, a brothel. Hollywood has no ethics, no morals. And Hollywood has always been liberal and radical. And, of course, Hollywood has always been typically Jewish and unscrupulous. The Jews control Hollywood like the Italians control.
You knew you were going to go there, Scott.
Of course they do.
Always blame it on the Jews. As though people who aren't Jewish wouldn't wield power to force themselves sexually on, you know, impressionable young people, vulnerable people.
Harvey Weinstein is an anti-Semite's dream. He looks Jewish. He's big and fat, and he raped these women, these Christian women, and they were desperate for stardom and fame.
How do you know they were Christian women?
Does that mean that Bill Cosby is a Jew too?
Bill Cosby is a degenerate black.
Don't people know this when they go to Hollywood that there's this casting couch phenomenon, that there are these pervy producers who are likely to try to force themselves on people, or do they just think that that's a myth?
I think they must.
I would say that some at least go there knowing that that's a thing and seek to, you know, leverage that, and they're willing to, you know, utilize that while they are able to take advantage of it. And then, you know, later on, if they, you know, feel guilty about it, you know, they may turn the tables and change the story. But, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of women who are, you know, go there and want to be serious actresses and think that they, if they're serious actresses and they stick to serious productions,
they'll be judged on their merits.
Yeah. And you have, for instance, Scarlett Johansson, you have, who was Pepper Potts in the Iron Man movies?
I don't know. I've never seen.
Shoot. I can't remember her name either. I'm not good with
that. She was claiming to have been harassed by him, and she rebuffed him. And really, the only reason that it didn't hurt her career is because she's from Hollywood royalty already.
I think the story is valuable because up to this point, there hasn't been a story like this, even though you knew it was going on.
Must be stories like this from the past.
Of this magnitude?
Could it just be rumor?
Well, there was the Black Dahlia story where there was a starlet who was murdered, and a producer was tied to that I think it was the 40s.
Okay.
And there's been stories like that, but the Hollywood press always seemed to hush up a lot of those.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I don't know what the history of these things are. I just figured there was more than just rumors about this kind of thing. But what you're saying is this is the first time it's really been blown big like this?
Best of my understanding. I mean, I haven't seen stories like this before.
Weinstein reached a settlement, according to Jezebel.com, with their running list of the women who have accused Weinstein. The $100,000 settlement was, quote, not to be construed as an admission by Weinstein.
Yeah, he's paid off a lot of people, as I understand it.
But intended, quote, to avoid litigation and buy peace, unquote, according to the legal document reviewed by the New York Times.
The amount of money this guy must have laid out in, hush money.
Big time, yeah.
Why didn't he just hire an escort?
Indeed. That's really the question.
You want a power thing, dude? It's a power thing.
So that's what you hear. I guess I don't understand.
I wanted to let you know some pleasant news, actually. Apparently, super activist Russell Canning is considering a move back to New Hampshire.
Really? Now, longtime listeners may remember Russell's name. He was one of the earliest movers here to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project, one of the New Hampshire freedom migrations that's been going on here. Did he beat you here, Dave Ridley, or did you beat Russell here? Because you guys were two of the first. You were there when we came here back in 2006. You were two of the earliest movers to the Keene, New Hampshire area. Who was first?
It's funny, when I first met Kat Canning, his wife, it was before she met him. And, the first time I met her, this was probably 2003, and she looked at me kind of suspiciously, and I thought, she'll love me later. She'll think I'm great. Once we start talking about freedom, and sure enough, it happened. And the same exact thing happened with Russell Canning, who ended up marrying her. When I met him in November 2004, when he moved to New Hampshire, he looked at me, and I thought, he's looking at me suspiciously. No problem. He'll love me. But anyway, yeah, we've been close friends over a long period of time. And now, I don't really do close friends.
The Cannings were a couple who, and I didn't realize that they didn't know each other before they moved here. But they were a couple who were doing civil disobedience back in the day, back in like 2004, 2005. In that range here,
yep,
in
I remember. Keene.
Roger Ver is, probably better known to most as Bitcoin Jesus. He's the guy who he was a rather wealthy man, dropped a bunch of money into different Bitcoin companies in order to get things going, and he is credited by many as sort of creating the Bitcoin ecosphere. We all praise him for that. One new idea he's come up with is to create a nation, and I'm not going to go any further than that than to ask, Roger, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you, guys.
Yep,
hey,
so,
you're calling us from Tokyo on Skype. Good morning.
Good evening for you guys.
Yes.
tell us about
the pitch here.
Yeah, this idea, I saw it at the Aspen conference. So what was that conference called? Nexus?
Yeah, the Nexus Earth Conference. And to be honest, I thought we were going to be talking about SegWit 2X today too. But I'm more than happy to talk about freesociety.com. And it's kind of what the name implies there. So it's our attempt to create the world's very first free society based on the ideas of, non-aggression and voluntarism. And before the advent of cryptocurrencies, something like this wouldn't have been possible.
So you're not just buying land, which, of course, can be done pretty much anywhere. You're buying the sovereignty of that land, which has been pretty much done nowhere. Is that about right?
Well, there's actually a couple of historical examples of that. One of the, I guess, most well-known, if you study that sort of thing, is Monaco. Monaco was initially just purchased by someone and became its own country. So it has happened in the past. It hasn't happened in super modern history, but we're planning to change that. And money talks, and cryptocurrency makes it super easy to allow everybody in the entire world to participate. So this is a pretty exciting idea. And
you have temporary examples in history like Hong Kong and similar types of ports in China. And China would basically grant Britain or whoever the other powers were a 99-year lease where the country that would take the lease had essentially sovereign allode over that territory. But it was a temporary grant rather than a permanent purchase.
Yeah, so those have been good steps in the right direction, and it's clear looking at how successful places like Hong Kong have been that more economic freedom means more economic prosperity. But we're going to take it a whole step further. We're actually not planning to have any government whatsoever. We're going to have a constitution and the rules of the land there, but there isn't any one central authority that gets to enforce them or gets to say nobody else is allowed to enforce them.
Who builds the roads?
You can't possibly have roads.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.